We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. And we've got in studio with us here this morning, Representative Mike Dodson from the 67th District, representing the city of Manhattan. It's good to talk to you again, sir.
Well, it's good to be here. It's been a long time since we've been in person, and hope you had a great Christmas, and we're looking forward to a better 2022.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's strange because, you know, people look back on 2021 and like it's been this horrible year, and it hasn't been the greatest maybe with COVID and everything, but it's a little bit better than 2020.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we were saying about 2021. Remember when we just got through 2020. So, yeah, I think things are getting better all the time. We've got this recent Omicron to deal with, but I think by and large the country is getting through this okay. And the, you know, we've got several things going on right now that are kind of set the backdrop. I know we want to talk about kind of what's going on in the legislature, but as we look at this, we've got several things, one of which obviously is COVID. So we've got to deal with this. And we've at least sorted out a few things about no lockdowns. We learned how to do this a little bit better. There were some lessons from 1918 we could have taken, but we chose not to pay too much attention to 100-year history. And then there's a lot of media hype. I don't know if you're kind of noticing that, but
I have noticed that.
I was just tuning into the news this morning at 7, and I mean, everything is a catastrophe or chaos, and you know, we're looking at 1% of things and calling them catastrophes. I noticed the other day we had, remember that well off the coast of California? That was catastrophic, reported for 3 days, 184,000 gallons of leakage oil. And if people would go back and look at the Exxon Valdez, that was something like 53 million gallons. So putting things in perspective is important. I just think people are overamped today. We don't need that. We need to calm down a little bit and take it easy. So as you mentioned before, this session will probably be marked by a couple of things. One is that it's an election year, so people's focus might be diverted a little bit. And, of course, some will be focused on issues that are very important to them and their constituents, and rightly so. The other one will be redistricting. And just to, I think everybody would benefit from going on the legislative website and taking a look at what's in there. And what you'll see if you go down the left side and you looked at, click on research, and that'll bring you to another page, and then you click on redistricting, and you can click on the House then after that page opens, and you'll see a couple of things. One is a map that kind of shows the, in different colors, the gains or losses to certain districts. And then as you scroll down below that, you'll be able to see the gains and losses from 2010 to 2020 on each one of those individual districts. So there were 89,000 total gains. We lost some in some areas, and we gained some in some areas, but the total was 89,000 for the state of Kansas. And if you look at where those gains are, you know where to expect them, in Johnson, Wyandotte County, and in Sedgwick County, and also in Riley County. So for the people that are around us here in Riley County, if you look out to our west, that district is down about 1,500. We like to have 23,500 at our population right now for each representative. So that one's down about 1,500. I am up about 3,000. And then Representative Carlin, who's just to our east, represents about 8,000 additional. And we think, I mean, this isn't confirmed, but we think most of that came from the addition of the college students onto the rolls. And then Ron Hyland, who's further off to the east, picked up about 2,000. So as you look at that map, what you'll notice is these blue areas, which include Riley County, and then the very light areas, which are around us. and particularly off to the northwest Kansas and southeast Kansas, those are very light in color. And that just means that the representatives who currently have four or five counties are going to have even more counties, because we arguably will have two or three more representatives up around the Johnson County area and one or two down in Wichita. So, this is going to be an interesting realignment. And, you know, if you looked at the Big First, which Tracy Mann represents us in, that constitutes, I think, about 85% of the state. Mm-hmm. So just kind of shows you where the population growth and loss has been. One of my worries is about the rural areas, and I'll get to that in a minute. There are about maybe three or four things that are of great interest to me. The first one is economic development. And, I guess for our benefit, we have at the state of Kansas, about $2 billion in the bank. Mm-hmm. And then the governor has estimated that we've got another $1.3 billion that's going to be coming in this fiscal year. And then, as everybody knows, we've got a lot of influx from the federal government. And Kansas is a net gainer anyway. That means that the federal government sends us back more money than we send in our income tax. So we've got an advantage there. But what I would like to see is, rather than kind of frittering that money away, that we create some real investments that pay off in the long term. There's always an inclination to put things into operational funds. Those operational funds run out. You know, if you say, well, I'm going to hire some more people, or I'm going to do this or that, and I'm going to do it on a yearly basis, you know, these funds don't last forever. Then you're going to be stuck in a dilemma that you can't afford any longer. So I think investment is largely the way to go. And we've got $450 million, you know, has been kind of sent towards this business of food tax.
Right.
Now, in the beginning, I was wondering how this would work, because you can imagine that the cash registers are trying to figure that out. But as it turns out, it's being done fairly intelligently. So, you know, at the end of the year, if you've made a certain amount of money during that year, you will get either your full amount of tax back for food, with the exception of alcohol and cigarettes, or a diminishing amount if you make more money that fiscal year. So I think that's a good outcome. My worry was that I can afford to pay my food tax, and some people just can't. It's a real struggle for them, particularly these days. So I think this turned out to be a pretty good design mechanically for that. The one I'm not too sure about is the $250 back to each taxpayer. You know, we're worried about inflation, and people are griping about what the federal government is doing, and I'm not so sure. I mean, I'd love to see people each get $250. Don't mistake that. But it just kind of adds to the fire. You can't kind of have both of these, and, you can't argue in both directions at the same time on this stuff. We had a conversation the other day about this inflation business, and I want to make sure that everybody understands, in a global economy, we're not in charge of our own destiny. I mean,
right.
If you say inflation, and then you look at the port of Long Beach, for example, and see all those containers, I mean, those containers are coming from overseas. They're not coming from Chicago.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of pent-up dollars in the United States, essentially because of what the federal government was trying to do during the height of the pandemic. So people now want to spend that money. They have it to spend, and there's a lot of it. So people in other countries, namely China and India, have COVID too. And so their production rate is much below what it could have been. And therefore, you know, things are backed up. And we're also having to pay a lot more money for transportation of those goods to get them here. So, yeah, it's a strange time. And this inflationary period will probably last a little bit. But I attribute most of that to what's happening with COVID, pent-up demand, and not much supply to go along. So Economics 101 tells you that you're going to get higher prices when that happens.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's interesting with the governor's proposal there for the – it sounds nice in hindsight because it's a – you know, it's, it sounds like free money. It's not free money, obviously. But what you're saying here, and I think what the Republicans have been saying here, is that they want something more long-term in terms of tax relief.
Yeah, yeah. The problem for our municipality – you know, as we've only got a weak two-legged stool. So we've got property tax, a little bit of fee generation from registering your car or something, and then we've got sales tax. So if you get up to the state level, obviously you have income tax. And we've been lobbying for some time to have this ad valorem tax given back. I think it, in 1992 that went on the books up at the in Topeka, and we're, by most calculations, we're kind of losing about $2 million a year because they don't send the money back. So the law stays on the books. It's just when it gets to, in many cases, when it comes to the committee at the very end of our session, which decides the budget, that's not included. So people keep in mind LAVTR and kind of read up on that. I think that's an important issue, and I think it will generate a lot of energy with people in rural communities because there's not much you can do, you know, when you're – we've already got nearly 10% on sales tax and the property tax is enough. I mean, people just hate property tax, and we don't have any other way to kind of pay for what we need. So taking this pill to – kind of calm down our spending habits is going to be important. But we've got some great institutions, Kansas State, University of Kansas, Wichita State, that have some great potential. I mean, we can make some great investments there, and I'm going to suggest we have an investment fund that can help generate a little bit more future income out of those institutions. I mean, they already do a great job. We just need to highlight what they do and what the potential for the future for those guys. They putting in a little bit of money for wet labs and dry labs and things like that will bring in a lot of business for Kansas State. And we're still trying to solve this dilemma, you know, about jobs versus business. And businesses want workers, and workers want businesses that pay well. So we're going to have to push through that, and there's some interesting ideas about that, but, you know, we're just going to have to take a little bit of risk to get there, I think.
All right. We're going to take a break here. We'll get more into some of the legislative preview here with Representative Dodson in a moment, but we'll step aside. More after this on News Radio KMAN.